From what I have learned and also what I have read, that these type of people who have come out and stated such blunt statements that la fi jubbati illa Allah and those type of things, they have said those things when they have been in a state of ecstasy, because Irfan has got ecstasy with it and brings some sort of feeling that people get union and unification with a higher intellect, and in those states they make some statements. When they later on, when they back to normal, they justify those things, because the problem is personal irfanic experiments is very difficult to be explained by your senses. What is your senses when it has to come to your words and to your talk and your language? It's not easy to say. So it's not so much say, it's not that all of these people have been wrongdoers of feeling that. Because if you go to other, even other Irfani branches of in India, I don't know what is in English, we call them in Farsi Brahmans, Brahmais, those type of people, Brahmans. And if you go to Buddhists and you study their religion, they have got very similar experiments, and where they unify with Aql-e Kul or universal intellect. I had in Taranga, I had a neighbor who was, she was a probably around 30 years old lady. She used to shave her head, and she was our neighbor. She was living alone, and she was a Buddhist. And I remember every morning about 3-4 o'clock, her lights was on, and she was just getting up and doing meditation. There you will find a lot of similarities between Irfan in many different cultures and religions. So I just want to say what Irfan is. I'm not in a situation to say who is wrong and who is right. So Irfan basically logicalized. I don't know if this word may be wrong, but I couldn't find any other word. Irfan logicalized internal revelation or Irfani experiences. So it gives what it does. It gives explains it in logic and tries to make it give some reasoning. We have what is called theoretical Irfan and practical Irfan. Theoretical Irfan basically explains, it's a theory which explains outside world, tells us what is outside world. For instance, one of the notions which is in Irfan, it is, for instance, they say there is only and exclusively one reality, and the rest of the things you see is manifestation. There is no other reality. And that is the very pure Tawheed. The very pure Tawheed is to understand that, because when we talk about Tawheed, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. This is what they say, this is the nasab of Allah, or they say this is the identification of Allah. And we say, if you ask most of us what is Tawheed and what is, we say Allah is one. That which is called, this is called numerical Tawheed. And the people like Marhum Ahaya Ali Ghazi, Asid Ali Ghazi, who has been the teacher of most of this contemporary Urafa that you can think of, Allama Tabatabai has been his student. Sayyid Jawad Maliki Tabrizi has been his student. Imam Khomeini has met him, but he has not been the student of him. I can't remember all of them, but if you go and study, you can search it on the internet. There is a website which tells about this autobiography of this Urafa, which has trained many, many RF. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. And he, this Aghai Ghazi, Sayyid Ali Ghazi, he says about Tawheed. He has got a statement about Tawheed, which I'll put it under my desk at home so that I don't forget. He says, Tawheed is one of those, this is something in those lines. Tawheed is one of those difficult issues. It takes a long time to achieve it. Tawheed is not only, this is my word, this is not only say, yes, Allah is one. Tawheed is a status that nafs must develop in itself. He says, I did not find, all his sons are scholars, most of them. He says, I did not find any of my sons qualified to teach him Tawheed. So, it is not, I mean, what we say sahlan mumtani. Sahlan mumtani means easy and impossible. Easy and impossible. Easy in a way that Allah has not made any obligation for us to find, to achieve something impossible. So in that sense it must be achievable. But it's a matter of a lot of time and devotion and exercising and performing a lot of things to reach to that state of Tawheed. And I also want to, this is this notion of Urafa, which I told you, Wahdat or Union. And you might have heard that there are bluntly, a lot of Urafa, bluntly called Kafir, Najis, and all of, even the lives of Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah Alayh, in Hoze Elmiye Qom, he was, people did not drink with the cup that his son had drawn, and called, because he is Najis. Why? Because those people believe in a type of Wahdat. Right? Wahdat is not, I remember one day in a meeting we had, somebody told me, it was not a class like this, it was just another meeting in among some of community members with me about a different issue. But because you were waiting for some other people to join, somebody raised this issue with us that, what do you think about, what do you think about Wahdat and Wahdat al-Wujud? And I kept quiet. Somebody answered and I didn't say anything, I just kept quiet. And then later on I was criticized that I have kept quiet. And my answer to that was, I am not able to explain Wahdat in one statement, one sentence. It is not something that I could make. I mean, although there are books written on Wahdat, and Wahdat is an state to achieve, it's not a sentence. But the simplest thing, as I said, this is what Urafa says, they say there is one reality, the rest of the everything else which is referred to as Masivallah. Masivallah means anything other than Allah. Masivallah is manifestation of Allah. That means there is a reality which is, they also refer to it as wujud and wujud, the wajibul wujud, and then philosophers explain the same thing in a different manner. They say wajibul wujud and mumkinul wujud. Urafa say there is no other wujud. Forget about it. There is only one wujud. And rest of it is the mazahir of wujud. Manifestation of wujud. So we have discussed some of these issues, if you remember, in the past. Not about the issue of Wahdat, but when we were discussing other topics. And also, in another thing about Urafa and Arifs, is Arifs or Urafa's ultimate goal is to reach to Fana. It's called Fana'i Fillah. Annihilation in English. So you all, I hope you all understand what is Fana. Kamil, annihilation, you understand annihilation, right? That means you totally, so much you submit to Allah that you lose yourself. There is no more a you. There is no more me. So when an arif, a person, can reach to an state that he has totally given all his selfishness, given all his wujud away, that is called an state of fana. And they also, there is of course other things, they say they come fani and then they come baghi billah. Fani fillah and baghi billah. Then that means you lose all, totally yourself, and then you are remain with Allah. These are things that I just mentioned the name and pass, so that we know what Urafa says. Urafa ultimately want to reach to an state of fana. That means there is no more of them. They do not exist anymore. This is also mutu qabla an tamutu, is exactly the same thing. When Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, die before you are made dead. That means give away all your desires and whims and wishes and wills and interests and yourself, whatever you want for yourself. You give that away, that is mutu qabla an tamutu. That you die before you are dead. That means that is only when a new birth happens. People, when they reach to that stage, they get rebirth. They are born again. And that is very a special status for Urafa, for Arif, or for any person who can reach to that. The other basic fundamental of Urafa is they live with love. And and as I've told you in the past many times, refer to Hadith Kanz, in Yahbaktu and Uraf. إني كنت كنزا مخفيا فأحببت أن أعرف فخلقت لكي أعرف. That says that I loved to be known, so I created to be known. So that is they, from there they have taken the rest of the principles. What? Okay, these are those.